Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And tonight we're going to be preaching a message entitled God's Right of Way. Friend, when you're out driving and come to a crossroads marked with a yield sign, that means you must come to a halt to see if another car is coming. You are required to wait because the other car has the right of way. When we talk about living a yielded life to God, we are in essence asking the question, does God have the right of way in your life? Spiritual fruit, we all know, is the evidence God looks for to see if we are truly one of His. They're also the things we look for to try and discern in one another, because Jesus said of a person's claim to be a Christian, you shall know them by their fruits. Jesus said, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit, for every tree is known by his own fruit. And the only way that we can bear proper fruit as a child of God in our lives is if we are yielded to the Lord. And the only way that we can begin to live a yielded life is if we understand that hearing the Lord's direction begins with prayer. We must pray if we are to hear the Lord's direction. We also must be open and willing to listen for God's direction. And so again, does God have the right of way in your life? Can you honestly describe your life as yielded and surrendered to God? Now I want to share with you a passage of Scripture from Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, beginning in the 18th verse. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And so Jesus is speaking here, and we want to focus on this verse. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But friends, here's the crux of the matter. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so again, the question is this, can you honestly really describe your life as yielded and surrendered to God? The fact is, friends, that there are some Christians today who are more yielded to their own opinions or the opinions of their friends and close relationships than they are to their Lord. There are those who would rather trust their own opinions than the Word of God, or the opinions of their friends, or the opinions of the world, than they would the precious Word of God. They would rather do that than accept the truth of God's Word. You see, both groups question whether God should have the right of way in their life. Now, I don't know what camp you may fall in, but again, does God have the right of way in your life? Perhaps that's what was occurring in Jesus' day, Our text tells us that he waited until he was alone with his disciples, and then he asked them this question, "Who do people say that I am?" And his disciples answered, "John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And then our Lord said, as he pressed the matter, "But whom say ye that I am?" And friend, that question is being asked in our culture today among every people group, but especially among our young people today. You see, our world is preaching a message of tolerance until the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned, and then tolerance goes right out the window. At that point, people become intolerant as they claim Christians are. This question has hung in every generation, "But whom say ye that I am?" Our text tells us, Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." You see it there in Luke 9:20. There are many in this world who call themselves Christians, who claim a relationship with God's one and only Son, yet they have never stopped to consider that to be a Christian means unconditional surrender. You see it there in verse 23, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Who was he with? Who were the all? He was with his disciples, and his disciples were the all to whom he was speaking, and his disciples were those who believed that he was the Christ of God. Now, why do you suppose that Jesus told them that if they believed this, they would have to live lives of unconditional surrender? Well, I've given that a lot of thought. Here's where my conclusion. God does not accept lip service. To say things is very easy. Things are said every day. But to live it, to live what we say, requires a total commitment of ourselves, and to be a Christian, one has to be willing to allow God to have his right of way in their lives, in our lives. You see, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Why would we deny ourselves? Because God needs to have the right of way in our lives. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. He's speaking about death to the flesh, death to self, for all who will follow him. Well, perhaps this story will help us out. French general Monsieur le Marquis Montcalm removed his plumed hat and bowed low before his opponent, the British Colonel Monroe. The Englishman responded with a stiff nod. French mortars had been pounding the British in Fort William Henry for days, and General Montcalm had called a meeting to ask for the surrender of the British. The scene was awash in the pageantry of war, in the immaculate blue and gold uniforms and flag for the French, the red and gold for the British. The drummers drumming, the flags snapping, and hearts pounding. Who would yield to whom? The French general had the advantage. His scouts had intercepted a British messenger bound for Fort William Henry, and he read the message to Monroe. "We have no men available to send to your rescue. You are advised to seek terms for your surrender." The shocked Colonel Monroe listened to Montcalm's terms. "None of your men will see the inside of a prison barge. They are free so long as they return to England and fight no more on this continent, and the civilian militia return to their farms." When Monroe asked about their arms, Montcalm replied, "They may leave the fortress fully armed. When Monroe said, "The honors of war," Montcalm replied, "Granted." When Monroe asked, "My colors?" Montcalm replied, "Carry them to England to your king with pride." Such were the terms of the British surrender to the French as portrayed in the 1992 movie Last of the Mohicans. In a day when generals wore powdered wigs and drank from silver tea services on the field of battle, British Colonel Monroe learned that surrender does not always lead to death. In spiritual terms, there is both accuracy and inaccuracy in that conclusion. Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Let me share with you, first of all, to be a Christian means you must surrender, and that surrender leads to death. There is no getting around the fact that a Christian surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ does mean death. Within all of us, we face a tremendous daily battle on a daily basis, a tremendous battle on a daily basis. It is the battle of our flesh, our wants, our desires versus the desires of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ has said here in our text that he calls for an unconditional surrender, for death to the flesh for all who would follow him. When we become Christians, God's word teaches that we are crucified with Christ. God says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." God is simply informing us that our rebellious, sinful nature was put to death when Christ, who died on the cross, has our payment for our sins. We didn't die an actual physical death with Christ, did we? No, Christ took our place and Christ paid the penalty for our sins. He paid a penalty that we could not pay. We've no way to pay it. Now, we didn't die with Christ physically, but we did die with Christ positionally, meaning that from God's viewpoint, our old sinful self was on the cross and has been crucified. That's why the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And yet God's word also deals with our lives from a practical point of view. And God says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would," Galatians 5 and 17. In other words, there are still going to be times when we don't feel like doing what God tells us to do. There's going to be times when we don't want to surrender to God. There's going to be times when we don't want to give up our independence. There's going to be times when we don't want God messing with our individuality. Going to be times when we don't want God telling us how we should be living. This is the battle that rages in the heart of the Christian today. God, leave me alone. Let me do what I want. That's what our flesh cries out. But Jesus draws a firm line. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, Luke 14 and 27. Whereas General Montcalm offered Colonel Monroe four terms of surrender, Jesus offers us just one. The cross you died on positionally must be the cross you live on personally, each and every day. Not to surrender, not to do so, means never getting close to Jesus Christ, never becoming one of his intimate friends. You may get to heaven, but you're going to get there regretting all the times when you insisted on having your own way instead of following Jesus Christ. You'll be painfully aware of the opportunities you surrendered, you passed up, and the quality of life in Jesus Christ you missed out on here on earth. You may get to heaven, but then again, you may not. For we all know there are many in this world who pretend to be something they are not. And yes, there are even alive and well today those who claim to know Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ does not know them. You see, that fruit we were talking about at the beginning of this message, it just isn't evident in their life. God knows the heart, friend. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows all about us. He knows the truth about us. And Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's our problem. We cannot really know our own heart, but God does. And Jesus gives a stern and a stark warning to all those who pretend to be his. Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so my question for you here tonight is simply this. Why place yourself on that slippery slope? There is a surrender that leads to death, but there is also a surrender that leads to life. Colonel Monroe was right as well as wrong when he concluded that surrender can lead to life. For the saints of God, surrender leads to an entirely new kind of life. In fact, we are born again to a new and living hope. But to experience that life, we have to surrender not just once, but every day, if not every moment of every day. If we are to live a yielded life, the prayer of surrender must be the constant prayer of you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because the Bible teaches that over and over again. Listen, Scripture is full of saints who chose life by surrendering to God. And friends, we need to think about that. Now, we'll conclude this message next week. But we need to think about, have we surrendered? Does God have the right of way in our life? Have we surrendered to the death of self? Have we surrendered that we might truly be embracing the life that Christ has called us to live? It is a very important question. And again, I will say to you, why place yourself on the slippery slope of claiming to be something and not obeying God? Do you not realize that you follow your words? And that's why we need to be very careful with the words that we speak and the words that we say, because our lives will follow those words. Does your life and the words you speak, do you follow after Jesus Christ? When you claim to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, is that because you are following him each and every day? Are you picking up your cross? Are you following Christ daily? Well, as I said, we'll conclude this message next week. But for now, consider, does God have the right of way in your life? Well, Father, as we close this message tonight, we ask your mercy and your grace to be upon each one of us. Lord, help us to determine the truth. Do you have the right of way in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.